Good to go. All right. There we go. How's everybody doing this evening? Good. Technology is new for me. We just got these at our church, and we're still trying to figure out how to use them. So we're used to just holding mics in our hands. First, I want to thank you for allowing me to come out. I was up at Florence Street, and Cliff and Danny Wood gave me the pastor's number here to reach out to, and I got some backstory and some good fellowship with them for some previous stories, so that was good. And then I was invited out to come here, and I'm happy to be here, so thank you for allowing me to come out. I'm going to start with a foundation. I think it's really important that you know who I am, where I come from, and how I got to where I am before we get into the Lord's Word, which will be short. There's a giant clock on the wall back here, so what time do you guys normally leave? So I make sure that we leave on time, okay? Okay. I went over a little bit this morning because I couldn't see the clock. I didn't bring my glasses. My watch is like 2 hours out of whack from the time change, so I just kept going until somebody started nodding off, and I figured it was time to quit. So, again, my name's Sean O'Connor. I'm an active duty police officer. I am currently a captain. As of September, I will be a corporal. I went from a full-time six-figure job to part-time with as many hours as they'll allow me to work in order to do this ministry. I'm married. I'll be 41 this next month. I've got three kids. I started young, and I say that because I see a lot of young folk out there with some babies, and praise God that you got them in church. I'll tell you, I was not raised in church any means. The only reason why I started going to church is because my wife made me. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you about that. And that's one of those things. And our pastor at the time, Jackie Battles, who started our church at Liberty Baptist in Stephen City, I felt like, anybody ever feel like the pastor spying on you, following you around, looking at what you're doing all the time? Yeah, that's how I felt every time I sat underneath his teaching and his in preaching. And what I didn't know is that's what the Lord calls conviction, right? He convicted me of the things that I knew I was doing, I shouldn't be doing, and what I needed to do. And I was saved in 2009. Baptized shortly after, married my wife. We had a blended family at the time, and then we had our my youngest daughter, who still lives at home, is 15. She just started homeschool. I hear that's a big thing in Oklahoma is homeschool, so we're trying it there in Virginia. I don't teach. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't teach grade school stuff. I barely passed high school. So I left it to my wife. She's got a doctorate. That's her business. If she needs help, I'm going to have her call her mom, not me. I have a daughter, Michaela. She just got married in December. She'll be 22 this year. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Macedonia Missionary Services. So Brant, who's now in charge of it since Leon Jasper's gone home to be with the Lord, his son married my daughter. So we're kind of kinfolk to them. And Macedonia is really a huge part of the reason why I'm standing before you. I started with them in 2014 in Woodbine, Georgia, went on my first mission trip, and have been hooked ever since. I was able to not only fellowship with people, build relationships, but I really understood that part of my life, what being doing the Lord's work really meant. And listen, my trade is being a cop. I've been a cop for 19 years. That's all I know. It's all I've ever been good at. And I realized that coming up through the department, you'll see, I think we got photos. I think they're working on that. I got some photos up here. I ran the canine unit for a number of years. You'll see my dog up here, the folks from Florence Street. Yep, that was a long time ago. Not near as many gray hairs. That's my dog, Riggs. I ran the program for a while. When I promoted from sergeant to lieutenant, they made me retire him, and he'll be 10 next week. But now he's sat and retired at home, and you'll see a picture of him rolling around. Shepherds have this thing where they have to have their tongues out all the time whenever they're doing anything, and you'll see that here shortly. But ran the program. I teach officer survival. I teach firearms. I teach active shooter. You name it. If it's tactical, I teach it. That's just my cup of tea, always has been. First aid, all that stuff. And the PD has blessed me over the years. I love the agency, and that's the whole reason why I stayed on part-time versus just being like, you know what, I'm out. I couldn't do that to them. It's hard enough for me when I made the decision after a lot of prayer, a lot of talking to people, a lot of talking to pastors that I know, you know, what's the right thing? Has anybody ever had a burden where they're just not sure? And you can't, I'm going to back up. I told my wife on the way back from mission deal, I'm quitting my job, I'm selling everything we own, we're going to build a house, and we're going into the mission field. And she looked at me with a look I can't explain, but gentlemen, you know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, you're crazy. I've heard this before. It ain't happening. Several months later, we came to the decision out of prayer that the Lord had burdened us to go into the mission field. And there's a lot, folks. There's a lot of steps that go into that. And to walk away from what you've only known your entire life, it'd be like a pastor just walking away from preaching, if that's all you've ever known. It's the same feeling which led us to where we are. My wife is a physical therapist, so she's pretty helpful out on these builds. There are a lot of older folk that come out with us, and when they wake up in the morning and they can't move their knee or their elbow's locked up, I have her go out and talk to them. She'll snap, crack, and pop you back into place, and then you're good to go for the next, you know, 3,000 miles before you need another oil change. So she's great. My youngest daughter is 15. She's been out on the mission field with us since she was part-time anyways, since yay high, all my kids have been. And then my son, he turned 18, moved out, and have not heard from him since. And I tell you that to tell you this with you kid, folks, with your kids, you can do everything right, but it's their personal conviction that's going to keep them in this building. Okay? And that's hard to swallow. Okay? And when we get into what I'm going to talk to you about out of the Word today, it's it'll make sense. anyway, so he moved out. My daughter's still at home. She started homeschool. So please pray for my wife and my daughter, because they're both driving me nuts with the schooling and, you know, this and that. And I was just like, I wish I could help you. If she had a trade that she was learning, hey, I'm there. Golden. You know, if she wanted to be a cop, golden. That'd be great. Let me get down through my pages here. I promise it'll be short. So let me talk to you about Frontline. I don't know where my pictures went again. Yeah, thank you, boss. So Frontline, we came to Frontline ministry once we made the decision. This is what the Lord wanted us to do. And I say we made the decision. The Lord really made it for us, and I tell you that because I love being a cop. But when I became a captain, I then proceeded to hate my job. It was sitting behind a desk, pushing papers, making policy, which is extremely important, don't get me wrong, but it was not for me. I made a huge mistake in my life, but I fully believe that the Lord opened that door for him to close it. Because when I went into that position, it's the only position at the police department that I've ever said I hate going to work, because it is just not for me. Love the people, and it was an important job, but it was not for me. I'm a hands-on, boots-on-the-ground kind of person. You know, I want to be out there knocking or kicking in doors, as we like to say in our world, you know, meeting people and being a help to them. So when we started this ministry, I wanted to make sure we had a connection. Frontline seems to be pretty fitting because law enforcement, first responders, fire and rescue. And I heard you guys got some folks that went somewhere. Firefighters, I'm assuming. Any law enforcement in here? Prior law enforcement? Oh, he left. Okay. Well, when you guys see him, tell them that we're praying for him, because firefighters and law enforcement, I know we love to knock heads. We love to pick on each other. You know, hose pullers and donut eaters, you know, I've heard all the jokes over the years. I have very close friends at the fire department. We pick on each other constantly, but at the end of the day, we're on the same team. We run into gunfire, they run into fires. It's just a matter of which way, right? It's a blessing to know those folks, and please let them know that we're praying for them. So I'll start at the top. One of the most important things that we want to do at Frontline, and we have been doing, just not really officially, our church just sent us out August 1st of this year, so you folks are the third church that I've been able to present at, and again, I thank you for that. I'm trying to watch the videos and see where I can improve, see where maybe I misspoke or, you know, things like that. Self-critique's important. Any type A personalities in here? Raise your hand. Come on. I know we don't like to acknowledge that, but there are a lot of type A's in there, OCD about certain things. I know it. I got to critique myself to say, yep, I probably shouldn't have done that or I shouldn't have said that. Do it all the time. And I'm used to talking to hundreds of cops and training them how to breach doors and how to enter rooms and how to shoot guns, all that stuff. What I'm not used to is standing in front of a crowd of 100 people telling you about the Word of God, which is extremely important, right? It's extremely important. So missionary support. Our goal is to support the missionaries that are out there planting churches, spreading the word, working in their communities, knocking on to whatever the case may be. We want to be out there to support them. And I'll give you an example. Pedro Morales is a missionary we support out of Liberty, out of Baltimore. He's a newer church plant, and he's got a great congregation, but he's got an old, it looks like a castle almost, the church that he's in right now. And he's got these wooden doors. Well, a company came in and said they needed $75,000 to put in three doors that are the size of the doors you guys have sitting right behind you. 75 grand. I'm in the wrong business, right? I think we all are at that point. So being that he's one of our missionaries, hey, listen, I'll come up. I'll take the measurements. We'll figure out what doors you want. If you guys can fund the doors, I will provide the labor to put them in, right? And the goal there is the same that the Macedonia mission is not for them to put that money back into their pocket, but to put it back into God's work. The ability for them to take that money and go help people or to build their mission or build their church is the goal. I don't want you sitting on the money, because we shouldn't have a stockpile of money for missionaries or mission stuff sitting in a bank account, because what's that doing help with anybody? It's not, right? So we want to make sure that they have that ability, and that's whether it's a remodel building, you want somebody to come knock or kick in doors, I can do that, right? My wife is big into VBS and the youth. She'll come out, do youth camps, she'll do VBS, whatever. And if we can be a support to that missionary or that church that has a missionary plant, then that's what we want to make sure. We want to make their abilities better spent in the field than worrying about the everyday stuff that missionaries will sometimes take. And I'm sure the pastors understand that. You know, there's things that you guys will do for him so that he doesn't have to. We're going to do the same thing. That's one of our big goals here. We also hooked up with the ABA Disaster Relief. I talked to Brother Archie when we were at the ABA this year. Anybody go to the ABA? Nobody? You guys go to the ABA? No? Okay. Sometimes, yeah. If it's on the beach, I'll go. That's fair. Well, we were in Hot Springs, Arkansas, farthest away from the beach you could possibly be. This first trip out there to the ABA really went just to kind of experience it. But anyways, disaster relief. Are you guys familiar with Swannanoa, North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina? They got hit with the flooding and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and all that. Did anybody see the pictures on the news? I'm sure you did, right? So a group of us from our church went down there to try to help them out. And I have seen a lot of things in my life, folks. And if you're a first responder or spent time in the military, I'm sure you have too. But it was horrible. There were streets that were gone. There was a whole KOA campsite down there that hit the news. It wiped everybody out. And when we drove through there, it looked like we were in a third world country that just went through a war. It was bad. And I've seen a lot of bad things in my life. But that was probably in the top five. But that really brings the ABA in. They were there. We wanted to help. We want to make sure that they have that ability. So they're going to get us a trailer. We're going to park it at our church so that if there's something on the East Coast that happens or within, you know, 3-4 hours, we can grab that and we can go be help to them wherever we can there. The mentorship and the discipleship really falls under the first responder support. So like I said, I've got a heart for first responders, and that's whether you're a firefighter, which, you know, I understand how those guys are, EMTs, even ER doctors. Any ER doctors or nurses in here? All right, I got to ask, what does everybody do for a living? That's all we do up north where I'm from, so, okay. Teachers? We got a lot of farmers in here, don't we? Okay, I see head shaking now. Perfect. Just as important. We have a heart for first responders. When I was 22 years old, 2008, I started at the police department. It was the same. The same day I was sworn in was the first day I dated my wife, went on a date. Lo and behold, I was late to our first date because I was running late at the police department. She has been with me through it, through the thick in the messy, in the late nights, the missing the holidays, missing kids' birthdays, you name it, she's been through it. And when we put this on here, we want to make sure that the first responders have an outlet. Do we have any military vets in here? Couple? So in the military is where it really comes out. When they come home from war, they come home from something, and they don't have an outlet, right? And what usually happens, the worst thing possible, they take their own life. I can't stand that. I have lost friends in the military to that. I've lost friends in law enforcement and fire and rescue, and I can't deal with it. I want to make sure that those first responders, and my wife wants to make sure the first responders' wives or spouses have someone to call. I can't talk to the pastor about being a pastor. I don't know anything about that. I don't want that job, right? But I can talk to a cop about what he just experienced. If he just went through a shooting, I've been there, I've done that. My wife can talk to the wives and say, listen, having your kids in church is important. Here's why, right? When the Lord gave us women and men together as a unity, one flesh really means something to me, and that means we're a team, and no matter what happens, we're together, right? And I know that the Bible's, you know, men this, men, yet listen, but he also gave you a wife for a reason, okay? Wives are just as important, and I'll tell you, I would not be standing up here today talking to you all if it wasn't for my wife. Fact. Are you guys recording this? Because I'm sure she's going to want to hear that. So we want to make sure that those first responders have somebody to go to. And ultimately, I want to make sure that, A, that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If they don't have a church, find them a church. Offer them our church. And then ultimately, I'll give them my phone number and say, call me. You have a bad day, you call me. You write me, whatever. And the same for my wife. We have been through a lot, and the wives at the PD had a small group chat, and they would do just that, check in on each other. Just having somebody reach out to you, and I'm sure the pastors know, and just having somebody say, hey, brother, I'm praying for you, can change somebody's decision because they actually know somebody cares. So that's going to be a huge part of our ministry. And then I kind of have already talked about the building projects. It's just really to save the missionaries money. So they can be better spent. And we also want to have, we've been an outreach in our community. So folks that don't really have a lot of money, but have enough to pay for, I don't know, a new washer or dryer, they need somebody to put it in. They can reach out to us and we'll certainly come out and help them out. We've got a project right now we're waiting on with a brother just down the road from us. His name's Andy. He's homebound, can't really get out a whole lot, but he needs a new roof. He needs a new hot water heater that went out about a year ago, and his HVAC went out about a year ago. And his daughter, as embarrassed as she is, didn't know any of that happened. And his daughter's pastor found out about our mission through the ABA, and we were able to go out, and we're helping him get through what he can. And once they get the funds available to replace those things, we're going to go in and replace them for him at no cost, obviously. And we'll get an opportunity to make sure he knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So through any of these outreaches that we're doing, the goal is not just to do the outreach, it's to make sure that the Word of God is being presented, an opportunity to know him personally is being presented, and then hopefully get them into a church where they can then learn and be taught the right way. So that's really what I have for the ministry. I am out on deputation, as the pastor said, trying to gain support, and I know that's financial needs, but ultimately, let me tell you about my personal life real quick. We're selling our house, which, you know, my wife really doesn't want to do. It's her dream house, but in order to do ministry work, everybody knows that it takes money. Unfortunately, that is the way of the world. So for us, in order to be a good steward, we have to make sure we're not living beyond our means. So we're going to sell our house, take the equity, build a house, and pray to God that we will have no debt when it comes to that. So it's a lot. I'm building the house myself with some family and some guys from Macedonia. First time doing it. We'll see how the government treats me. I'm not real sure about that. So y'all just pray for that situation and pray for the ministry and pray for us to have somebody or a group or missionary that needs us. Because frankly, at the end of the day, if there's not anybody to help in the ministry that we're trying to put out there, then there's no good for us. And I don't believe that's going to happen one bit. But just if you guys, if you have somebody out here that needs help, call us. You know, if we can come out, we'll come out. If we can talk to a first responder over the phone, I don't care what time of day or night it is, you just call and we'll answer. That's what we're here for. So we're fully committed, and I trust in the Lord and have faith in the Lord that he's going to take care of it. And in the same sense, if the Lord doesn't want something to happen, believe me, he's going to close that door, and he's going to close it quickly. He brought us into this world. He can bring us back out of it. And we need to make sure that we have that understanding. So when we're done here, I'll be out here for a little bit before I end up going back to Florence. No, where are they at? Broken Arrow, that's where it's at. If you have any questions, I'm an open book. You can ask me anything. There's nothing I won't tell you. I like to be transparent in everything that we do. It's something I truly do believe in. So I'll be out there if you want to talk. I've got some cards. They're in my pocket currently. I'll place out here somewhere. And if you guys want to pick it up, we have a Facebook page that we're trying to post on. Listen, I hate social media. It's good for two things. One, for getting the Lord's word out there. Okay, especially for the younger generation, right? We're all this right here. And Facebook Marketplace. Love to buy and sell stuff. Do it all the time. Okay, those are the greatest things ever. Other than that, it is full of a bunch of nonsense. Okay, but fortunately, it's one of the means that we have to use, no different than us using television screens. So there's our Facebook page. If you happen to come across it, that's us. Not a whole lot on there yet. We're just starting out. I didn't think it was appropriate to post stuff I did 10 years ago because it's kind of like false advertisement. You know, in my line of work, that's called illegal. So we're working on it. My daughter, Riley, is going to be running that. So if things don't start popping up, I'll get on her about it. I told her she's free labor and she's going to do it. So I'm going to switch over to, we're right on time. Look at that. Switch over to talking to you just a little bit about the Word of God. So we're going to be in James. We're going to be in James 2, and what I want to talk to you about, really, it hits home for me, and maybe will make a little bit more sense why I'm standing in front of you. Can somebody, let me preface this, I like interaction, that's why I'm kind of like walking around a whole lot and moving my hands. I'm used to cops giggling and, you know, just locker room type behavior. I don't expect that out of you guys. Don't do that. But I like interaction when I stand up and talk to people. But a lot of folks have the definition of faith. What would your definition of faith be if I asked you? If somebody off the street said, please explain to me what faith is. That's some of it. Anybody want to add to it? Okay. You stole my sermon. You coming up? No, sister hit it right on the head. And gentlemen, you did too. Faith in works equals evidence. I'm going to say that one more time. Faith plus works equals evidence. Evidence of the faith, let me try that again. Evidence of faith in the Lord and being obedient unto him. Okay? I know everybody's looking at me like, what is he talking about? Can you have faith without having action behind it? Man, I only heard a couple of people say no. Listen, you can trust in the Lord. You can believe in the Lord. But if you're trusting and believing, there has to be action. There has to be action, right? I can trust and believe all day long, but that doesn't mean that I have faith in him. Because if I had faith in him, there would be action behind it, right? And a lot of people say, well, and you see people with, listen, I got tattoos. I'm not going to hide them. I'm under a suit. But I do have but I see people with tattoos that say faith and all this stuff. And I sit there and I wonder, do you actually understand what that means? And if a complete stranger came up to you and said, somebody explain to me what faith is, most people are going to say, brothers, what you said, well, I believe and trust in God. Well, what does that mean? And it's just going to spiral into effect, right? So if you look at James, let me get back here real quick. 14, we're going to start, 17, and it says, even so faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone, Yea, man say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me faith without thy works, and I will show thee faith by my works. You know, years ago, I could tell you I would not understand a lick of what that just said, because I would be absolutely confused. I didn't grow up in church. I'm a King James only type of guy. Just my personal belief, you know. But what it's saying here is exactly what we're talking about. You can believe and trust in God all you want, but if you truly have faith, you're going to have the evidence to back that up, right? I can tell you when I make cases as a police officer, you can't arrest somebody unless you have proof. Proof is evidence, right? I can't just like, oh, you're under arrest. Well, why? I don't know. That, you know, I'm sure you see that on TV. That's not true. It's not Hollywood. We don't do that. You shouldn't do that. Let me rephrase that, right? But you have to have an outward showing, an action behind your faith in order to truly trust and believe and have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This Bible is full of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out and preach the gospel. We're supposed to go out and help people. We're supposed to have a certain way that we interact with people, edify our neighbor, right? There's a whole list of things that we're supposed to do that exercises our faith based on what the Bible says. But my question really comes down to is, that's an individual relationship. Everybody's faith is different. What I believe the Lord has for me to do may be different than what you have. And that's fine. There's a lot of pages in here for us to figure out what we're supposed to do, right? And we do that through prayer and understanding. But when you talk about understanding what the Lord would have you to do, we have to go back to the Bible. That's where our belief and trust comes from. But it goes back to the relationship in reality. Faith is a relationship in my eyes, okay? I can say that I trust the Lord. I can say that I believe in the Lord. I can say that I have faith in Him. But what does that relationship look like? And I've narrowed it down to a couple of different types of relationships. Strong relationships. What's a strong relationship to you? For me, it's somebody who wakes up every day and makes Satan shudder because you woke up because he knows that you're going to do the Lord's work. That's the Christian I want to be. Right? A lot of people are more afraid of the created than they are the Creator. Oh, yeah, let that sink in. Listen, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I like to pick out certain things, and I always like to go back and like, I'm not sure that's accurate. But when I heard that, it was on a podcast, and it was a lady who said it. She said, more people are afraid of the created than they are the Creator. And I'm sitting there going, whew, that one sits home for me. But I want to be the type of Christian, and I want to be the type of cop, and I want to be the type of dad that goes out there and makes Satan shudder, that when my feet hit the ground, that I'm unstoppable. That's a strong relationship. That's a hard relationship. That takes obedience. That takes commitment. That takes a lot of attributes that we're not familiar with. A lot of faith. A lot of faith. A lot of actionable faith. Then you have what I would call maybe a mediocre relationship. Right? So most days I'm going to go out and do what the Lord wants me to do. Most days. Maybe I'm going to go out and help the pastor or the deacons door knock. Maybe. Maybe I'm going to help with a Sunday school class. Maybe I'm going to go on this mission trip. Maybe, maybe, maybe. There's a common theme there. Maybe. It's mediocre. Mediocre at best. And the last one is something we should all fear and strive not to do. And that's, you have a weak relationship. Anybody ever had a weak relationship with the Lord? Everybody in here should raise their hand. And I'll tell you why, because I can guarantee when you first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you didn't have that strong relationship, because you have to build on it. You didn't wake up one day when you were a baby and be like, yeah, I can walk. No, you had a teacher. You had a parent. You had a brother. You had a sister, whatever, that taught you those things. It's right here. That's what this Bible's about. It's about teaching. Jesus came to earth for one reason. That was to die on the cross for our sins. He didn't come here to teach us anything. He came here to die on the cross. Everything else he did was a blessing for us. And the ability to learn from it. So, our relationship of a weak person is somebody who just comes to church because that's how they always were taught. Anybody not go to church as a young person, or even now as an older person, not come? You all grew up in church? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. If you didn't grow up in church, it's an easy question. You never came, right? If you grew up in church and you're still coming, you're one of those. And I'm not saying, folks, I don't know any of you. I just met the pastor an hour ago, other than text messages back and forth over the past month. But if you're sitting there thinking, man, I just come to church on Sunday mornings because that's what I'm, that's all I'm going to do, you have a weak relationship with the Lord. And I know that's hard to hear because I was one of those people. Or, listen, I will go because my wife told me to. Okay? I was that person. When we were dating, it was like pulling teeth to get me to go to church because I was like, listen, Jesus ain't for me. He has no idea what I've done in my life. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing you do that the Lord don't know you did and do that you were going to do. But we have folks that have that weak relationship. And through our ministry, we want to change that, just like the pastor wants to change that, just like I hope each and every one of you want to change that. But that could be you sitting here. And I don't know you. I don't know if you guys were here this morning or what you're involved in. But I'm sure that each and every one of you would say that you have faith and trust in the Lord. But my question is what are you doing with it? Are you actionable behind it? And not everybody is called to the mission field, and we don't want everybody to the mission field. Everybody has their own burdens to deal with, and that's not for me to decide. That's not for your pastor to decide. That's for the Lord and you to decide. That is a personal relationship. But maybe the pastor needs somebody to teach. Maybe the pastor needs somebody to go with him door knocking. Is that an actionable faith in the Lord? 100%. He said go. He didn't say sit. Right? That doesn't mean you have to go across the country, folks. I'm not telling you, I'm not preaching to you about, going out and doing all these crazy things. But it may be that you need to talk to the person sitting next to you about the Lord because you know they're struggling. That's actionable. It's more than just physical. It really, works can be defined as labor, your emotions, your outward showing, in your ability to edify one another. It doesn't always have to be a physical attribute or a physical action. There's a lot of different ways that you can serve and serve your church and serve God. And when you have a relationship, you have a faithful and faith-filled relationship, it's always actionable. Following the Lord by faith and true faith means that you have the evidence to back it up. And I tell you that because when I started out in 2014, it was my first mission trip is when it hit home for me, understood what an outward showing was. Because I was that weak relationship. I would sit on the pew, sing some songs, say the words, whatever, and want to go home. And it wasn't until I spent more time with Christians, true believing Christians, and faithful Christians that I understood what the word faith meant. And it changed my life forever, because I can tell you, if you had asked me 19 years ago, 20 years ago, would I be standing here, the answer would have been a whole lot of words I'm not going to repeat. And be like, mm-mm. And my wife, I can tell you if she's listening, would be like, yep, it took a lot. And it did. I would go to over there to spend time with her, and I'd spend more time with her dad being preached to than I would her. He's like, listen, we're going to have a chat. And let me tell you what, when he went home to be with the Lord, there's not a day goes by that I don't think about that man and what he did for his family and what he did for me. Because without that family, Satan would have another soul. Fact. And I want you folks to think about that. I'm going to end with this because it looks like we're right at the time we're supposed to be. Ephesians 2 and 8. That's not it. I lied to you. No, yeah. Oh, it would help if I actually was in Ephesians. So Ephesians 2, it says, "For grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want to make sure that when I walk out of here today, and I'm sure your pastor does a phenomenal job, you cannot be saved by anything that you do for the Lord.
Amen.
That's not what that verse, a lot of people take, well, you have to do works. No, that's no. When people misinterpret the Bible is when they get into trouble. There's context behind it. Sometimes you have to read chapters. Sometimes you can read a couple verses. But I want to make sure after talking to you about your faith and your relationship in the Lord and what that actionable thing is that you understand that you can't. There's nothing that you can do to be saved. What we can do is filthy rags to the Lord. That's what it's worth. Okay? It doesn't matter how good of a person you think that you are. The only way for you to have a place in heaven is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Amen.
That's it. And no action, nothing, no gift, no preaching, nothing can do that. Nothing. So, Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you. Folks, I really enjoyed being here with you. I appreciate everybody. This is a magnificent building. And my wife would be a little upset with me when I tell her about the music. She loves the more contemporary stuff. And she sings in a group where we're trying to introduce some of that. But, man, she would be out here swinging her arms and everything, just having a great time. So I enjoyed it. I really did. You guys are fantastic. Pastor, thank you.